Huh? Oh, that's exactly right. All right. Well, thank you, Floyd. All right. Tony, you got a good gift there. And Dan, thanks for helping him out as well. And I will make my attempt to sometime or the other join in with you guys on the bass as well. All right. I want you to find Job, the 14th chapter tonight. And we're really considering the whole book of Job. As I mentioned a few times as I've been preaching, I've been going through a study in the Old Testament and part of my own devotional type thing. And we're going to bring a message tonight entitled, What to Do with Trouble. What do you do with it? Well, I do want you to understand, as your pastor, as your friend, and as a fellow Christian, that trouble is coming. One of the dilemmas that we're going to be facing in our life and will constantly face is just the simple fact that we're going to have to cope with reoccurring instances of trouble in our life. There's been a prevailing notion amongst some of the newer theology thoughts in circles around the country that if you're faithful, if you don't do anything wrong, then you're never going to have a problem. Now, that's not true. It's been my experience in life that the people sometimes that are closest to God, and excuse me for saying it this way, but it's fact, the people that are closest to God seem the ones that catch the most hell in life. I mean, really. It's just, they have the most problems, the most awful circumstances. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. And Job was a man that was upright in front of the eyes of God and in front of his peers as well. And here's Job's summation in the 14th chapter. He says, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Now may God bless the reading of his word tonight. Over the course of 31 years of ministry, and some of those being as a pastor, I've seen a lot of trouble. And the scripture, on more than one occasion, poses this question to us, and it's often brought out by individuals that are looking at trouble. They say, why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Well, that is a riddle for life that can be best understood from the full context of the scripture. We just can't look at one thing and say, okay, man shouldn't suffer, or we should look at something else that says, well, man should suffer. I mean, didn't Jesus himself say that in this world, you are going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, right now, there's a word for us today from Job. And it's a word that stood for thousands and thousands of years. And that's simply this. God can see you through your trouble. He can really do that. If there's no clouds right now on your horizon, maybe things are going really well. Maybe you've feel that I've got everything in place, let me tell you to fasten your seatbelt because trouble is on its way to your house in some shape or form. What I found out about trouble is this, it's an equal opportunity program. It gives no exceptions to anyone. There's a program for trouble in our life, or our lives just seem programmed or pre-programmed to have trouble. Now, the trouble that comes to us, it comes in different sizes, shapes, and varieties. There are big troubles, there are little troubles, but I want to look first tonight at the types of trouble that we have. So some of the trouble that we have comes from this variety to whom it may concern. We're just breathing, we're alive, we're walking around, you're in school, you're out of school, you're on the job, whatever the case may be. But it's just trouble that's indiscriminate. It just comes because you have interaction with people. We are in a fallen race, and being in the fallen race, there are difficulties that arises just because we are interacting with other human beings. There's also trouble that comes to us because we have done something to bring trouble to us. If you drive 80 miles an hour on 71 sometime this week going to Columbus, there's probably a good chance that trouble will come your way in the form of a ticket, right? If you think, by the way, if you think, you know, you're going to cheat on your taxes and get away with it and you get caught, Trouble is probably going to come your way in the form of an IRS agent notifying you that we need to evaluate how you have handled your taxes. And that's trouble, but that's trouble that you brought on yourself. And there's just trouble that comes to us because we're just human. It was Joe Louis, and some of you may remember Joe Louis, some of our older members, a prize fighter, great fighter back in his day. And in the ring one time, he made this remark to his opponent, "You can run, but you can't hide." Here's the fact. Trouble will hunt us down, and it will make your house his house, and there's no escape from it. There's a broad variety of all-inclusiveness that trouble will find each and every one of us. Sometimes it's sudden and debilitating sickness. Some of you have been there. All of a sudden, you know, you're fine, and then the next moment you're not. I remember during my heart attack, didn't really expect that, but it came, and it happened. I remember kidney stones this year. Can I tell you, the heart attack was easier than the kidney stones. It was, wasn't it, Brenda? Really? No, I guess not. It was for me. Trouble is going to come to you, and it may be on your job. It'll mess with you on your job. It'll meet you between your house and the job and your car. It'll ride all the way to work with you. Then it's going to journey all the way back to home with you, right in your car. When you get out of your car and put your key in the door to unlock the door, it's going to walk right in the house with you. And I've got news for you. Trouble does come to churches. Now, I feel right now our church is in a great position, as Brother Dale has shared. You know, we're posed to see some great things happen here. And I believe we will see some great things happen here. We've seen great things, but I do know this, as the pastor, somewhere there's going to be trouble that we're going to have to face. It's ambiguous in nature. It can show up anytime, any place, anywhere, with anybody, but it will show up. Let's go back to the narrative of Job and sort of get a little more information about this. Now, the narrative of Job, and the Bible instructs us about people who prosper. It really gives us an idea of people who prosper, trouble can come. And to use the language of today in Job's situation, Job was in. I mean, he had everything that a man could possibly want. From an education standpoint, he probably would have like an MBA or an MA or something like that. He had a stock portfolio. He was on the board of several different big companies. He had it all made. And just like you and I, Job found trouble, or more likely, trouble found him. Now, in the biblical narrative, there's a conversation that goes on between God and Satan. And Satan just simply says to God, "You know what? The reason why this guy's serving you, the reason why this guy wants to be around you and praise your name is because I can't touch him." But he says, "You know, if I touch him, he's going to curse your name." Well, God says, "All right, Satan, here you go. You can touch him, but you can't kill him." And then this cascading of sequences comes on his life. First, the marauders come in, and they take all his camels. And while the servant made that report, another one came in and said, "They've also come to the South 40 that you own, Job, by the way. They took away the goats and the sheep." And while he was still yet speaking, another one came in and said the cattle were gone. And while that guy was still speaking, another one came in and said, "There's this east wind that came, blow down the pillars of your oldest son's house, while they set at dinner, and killed all your older children. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh." That was Job's response. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then Job's friends came to him, and they hadn't seen him for a while. And his wife had sent him outside and said, "Listen, you're such a mess. You got all these scales and scabs all over you. I don't even want you in the house. Get out of the house." And his friends come to him. They walk right past him. They didn't even recognize him for who he was. That's how much trouble was in his life. Then they come around and say, "You know, Job, you've been a member of Canaan Baptist Church of Christ for so long, and now this has happened to you. What were you doing? Were you dealing in drugs? Were you involved in illicit prostitution? You've been living a double life, because that's why this trouble has come to you." And Job just simply says, "Listen, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can I give you a little theology point today? God has a right in his sovereignty to make us any way that he wants to make us. Period. He can make us rich, make us poor, he can make us healthy, he can make us not so healthy, but he has that right. Amen? And that's something that is so lost in this name it and claim it crown. Amen? Now listen. In life, you can get some of the best and some of the worst things that happen to you, and they're seldom equal in proportion. It seems like some people have all the bad and not very much good, but there are those who seem to have a lot of good and very seldom have the bad. But everybody universally does have some bad stuff in their life. Amen? So I thought we'd run through that story of Job, get us to where we can look at how we can respond to trouble, because this is really the important aspect of it. Now, first, we find these three friends of his, or so-called friend, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and they came to Job, and of course, I mentioned a couple comments. They said, look, Job, you've done something horrendously wrong here, and they camp out around his house at his doorstep, and they simply basically say, God's getting even with something you've done. Now, let me stop right there. How many of you ever felt this way? Because I'm sick, God's punished me some way. Have you ever felt that? Now, be honest. Some of us have felt that. I have. Believe me, when I went through my kidney stones, I was saying, what have I done? Then I started thinking, well, what did Brenda do to make me feel this bad? I'm just kidding about that. But that's the truth of it. Listen, it doesn't always have to be something that we've done that causes trouble to come to our life. I want to make sure that I stress this point to everybody here. Your heart and your spirit can be in the right place, and yet trouble can come to your life. And if we don't need to feel like God is punishing us. But there are those times when God can be directly punishing us for something that we're doing that is inappropriate. That's comes back to something I said earlier. If you're cheating on something, you're doing something wrong, and then trouble comes because of that, guess what? That's why the trouble's there. But if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that's what Job was doing, if you're following the way that you should be following, and trouble comes, don't get in this mindset, boy, you know, God's really getting after me, getting after even with me. Man, I've even heard preachers get up and say, you know, you get a bad set of tires on your car if you don't live right. And your tires are liable to blow out as you're going down the road. Now, listen, you know what that is? That's called superstition. That's not biblical. That's not right. I don't think theologically sound for us to think that way, because there's no evidence in the scripture to really testify to that. And I don't want us to ever get there as a church family. You need to carefully evaluate, hey, how's my walk with God? And if you've got something that's leading you off to the side, taking you away, then guess what? That may be the problem. But if you don't have something doing that, listen, just as I said earlier, some of the people that live the closest to God that I've witnessed in my life catch the most H-E-double-L-L in their life. Of nothing that they've done, but that's what comes to their life. And that's one opinion. People have this opinion that, well, trouble comes because I've done something bad. Then Job's wife, she verbalizes a second opinion. Some folks just say, well, when you face this difficulty, you know, doesn't matter where it's come from, you just give up. So he said, Job, as hard as you have tried to serve the Lord and do the right thing with all this trouble that's on your plate, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, let's just stop for a moment. Have you ever been so sick that you wish you were dead? Honestly, some of us have. Huh? Have you ever had so much trouble? We'll take it this way. So much despondency in your life that maybe you have contemplated taking your life. It can happen. It may dance across your mind for a moment or two. Oh, I'd be so much better off if I wasn't here. The world would be better off if I wasn't here. Sometime in our darkest moments, we can think this, that life's just not worth living. That's what basically, she was verbalizing suicide to her husband. Listen, Job, just curse God. Go ahead and die. It's not worth living. What in the world, Job, do you have to live for? What a wife, by the way. See, all your dreams have turned to ashes. And remember what Job told his wife? He said, "Woman, you're talking like a fool." Anyone that has an ounce of faith needs to remember this. In God, if you've got an ounce of faith in God, you must understand that no matter how bad things get, no matter what the circumstances are, it's never time to give up. It's never time to snuff out your life. Now, here's what I've witnessed at this church. And some of you may remember this. We had a member here that was going through some severe, despondent times in his life. And he committed murder. And then he committed suicide. And from time to time, I run into his son. And the scars of that are still fresh. And I'm talking 1998, 97? Yeah. Still there, fresh. So don't ever think that suicide is the answer. You know, we'll just snuff my way out of it. There's always somebody left to deal with the axe of those hurts. So don't let life get you down to the point that you ever consider giving up. There's always hope if there's Christ involved in it. God does not let things happen to us in order to destroy us. He lets things happen to us that we might grow stronger in Him. I've heard this said, don't fret, don't fume, don't fuss, don't cuss. As bad as it could be worse. Being philosophical, by the way, is not always the best strong avenue for doing what's right. But I want to close out tonight by talking about what our response should be when we have trouble. Now listen, if you've done something wrong and troubles come to your life, then you need to own up to that and say, look, here's what I've done. And make your apologies, make things right, do what's right. And that's what I think needs to be done. In fact, I know what needs to be done. But also, if trouble comes, there's no real explanation for it. I think we have to have the heroic response that Job had. Those who believe that Jesus taught great things, and I'm one of those. One of those things is he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I think that's an axiom for life. Too much in life is focused on successful living. And I don't want to knock success, but often we get to this place in our life where we think we need success at any price. That's not success. That's not success. If I could be successful and do things that weren't pleasing to God, I don't think that I would be a success. In my eyes, I think I would be a failure. I don't want success that bad in my life. There are some things in life where I'm going to draw the line, especially when it comes to being the pastor of this church. There are some things that I'm not going to do. There's some things I'm not going to submit to. And people who subscribe to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have to have lines that they're going to draw in their life. Job said, listen, even though he slays me, you know, I'm not going to raise up my voice against him, just sort of paraphrasing that. I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to speak ill of him and ask him to kill me. Whatever life throws at you, we need to opt for a heroic response as Job did. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Keeping your faith intact in spite of what happens to you is what God has called us to do. It doesn't mean that your faith isn't going to be tested. It doesn't mean that you're not going to sit at your kitchen table like I did back in May of this year, looked at my wife and begin to cry and ask, you know, I don't understand why I can't get past this. That's how bad I hurt. It does mean that even though we question the situation, we're going to let God answer that. Now, let me stop for a moment. Let me get personal here tonight. You know, Matt, you know I love you and think the world of you. And I'm so proud of the way that the Lord is using you and your wife and the ministry here and so many other areas. You know, Matt's going through right now an adoption process. Has that been fun? It's been trouble, hasn't it? And you know, all Matt wants to do is take a child from a third, fourth, or fifth world country, so to speak, and bring it here and provide a wonderful home for it. And yet, it's just this trouble after trouble. He was thinking maybe sometime in June that you might be getting close to this adoption process ending, and now it looks like it's going to go further back. Every other week, it's something that you'll share with me. You'll say, okay, looks like it's going to get moved up. And then it comes back, well, it looks like it's going to fall back ahead. And the monies that has to go involved with that. But I do know this, Matt. When that little girl gets in your arms and your wife's arms and your son's arms, it'll be worth it. It'll be a wonderful thing. It'll be an illustration, really, of the gospel in itself, in my opinion. And I'm proud as a church family we had a part of that. You know, Bev and Joyce, I think of Gwen and all the trouble that she has went through and continually still goes through. You know, it's just not pleasant. But I believe that she has had a heroic response in all this. The family has had heroic response. As I look across the room tonight, I know each of you. I see some of our widows there. Betty, Joyce, I know that you guys have went through some stuff. Right now we have a new widow, Bernice. You know, June, I look at you and think about your response. And, you know, the night that we were there when Troy was called into heaven, you know. Sister Radley, if I wasn't around when Chester was called, but you've told me about that. And the Lord sharing with him what time he would call him home. Amazing stories. But yeah, it was still trouble, you know. Evelyn, I think about Herb. Now, he was a good guy, you know it? He really was. I loved being around Herb. And I loved the story about how you guys met in Myers. Now, how could anything be inappropriate meeting at Myers, right? But it's everywhere. Each family there, Dave and Faye, you know, the loss of a brother-in-law this year through a gun fire. You know, all these homes here touched with trouble in some way. But I'm grateful that this church and the church family and as a whole has had great response to this. There's a book called The Devil's Dictionary. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it is by Ambrose Bierce, and it has definitions in it. One word takes a word and gives a definition to it in the light of the way Satan would approach it. The definition for the word back, B-A-C-K, is this: the part of your friend's anatomy which you are privileged to see when you're in trouble. Because that's what happens to a lot of us when we're in trouble. Our friends will turn our back on us. I found people in my life that I thought I could count on, that it really worked out, that I couldn't really count on so much. I've heard people say, man, you know, you're the greatest, you're the best, and I'm always going to be there right by your side. And then you cannot put an all-points bulletin out to find them when trouble comes. And here's what else has happened in my life as well. Maybe you know this to be true as your life as well. The ones that you think you couldn't count on, the ones that you think were least likely to stay by you in the time of trouble, were the ones that would walk through you with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And somehow life has a way of sifting out the people who really mean what they say and say what they mean, and those who really are just paying lip service. Sometimes when people say to us, man, if you need me, call me, what they really mean is this: if you need me, don't call me. That's what I like about this church. We've got a great family here that really can be counted on. Now, Job had been married some time for about 44 years, something like that, the time that we're looking at here in the Bible. And his wife, she said, you know, Job, you just need to curse God and you need to just go ahead and end it all. We've talked about that a little bit. And listen, that wasn't the right thing to do. So tonight I want to close out with these last few thoughts, and that's this. What do you do when trouble comes? Honestly, how do you approach it? Do you consider the type? Is it trouble that is just trouble that happens? Trouble just because you're around people? I've heard this person that's very dear to my heart say she was going to write a book sometime in her life. Got people, got problems. Because that's true. I can be a problem, you can be a problem, that's just the way it is. We are a fallen race, and just from our simple, mere fallen positions, when we interact together, it can be a problem. You got to consider that. Or is my trouble coming because I have done something that is bad, something that's not right, something that's not scriptural, and they're going to come and take me away, and that's going to be trouble? But I've brought that trouble on myself. You know, the world's trouble enough without bringing trouble on herself, isn't it? And the third thing is this. What kind of trouble could it be? Well, it can be just the trouble that comes that God allows to happen in our life to test us, to prove us. Consider my servant Job. He's upright in all his ways. And the devil says, no way, God, no. Nah. He would not serve you if you take that all away from him. He's only around you because you've built a fence around him. Well, the devil found out otherwise. Isn't it interesting that at the end of the book of Job, it tells us that all the things in double was restored to him because he stayed fast. Had he not stayed fast, I don't know that he would have seen that. That's what we need to do in trouble. And the third type of trouble, the next thing that we want to talk about is evaluate our response. Be careful how you respond to trouble. Don't always think that, oh man, I've done something and this is God getting even with me. You know what? How many of us have so many things that we've done that we've just literally forgotten about? You know, every once in a while the devil comes to me and he'll remind me of something that I have done as a 10-year-old kid or a 12-year-old child or a 20-year-old. I'll think about that. And man, it's almost like it's an unrepented sin. Actually, I've repented of it. But he'll bring it back to my mind and he'll say, you know what? You have no business doing what you're doing. Well, he's exactly right. I have no business doing what I'm doing, but God said I'm going to be doing this. Don't let those things come back up. Evaluate your response. Be careful. Make sure it's biblical. And that would be the third point, closing point. Respond biblically. Look at it in the right way. That's what Job did. Interesting, Job finally catches up back with God. God's responded back to him. I think 35 chapters or something. No response from God whatsoever. And Job says, hey, God, wait a minute. I got something I want to say to you now that you're listening to me. You know, why has this all happened to me? And here's what God basically says. Listen, Job, I'll answer that question, but I got a series of questions I want you to answer first. Where were you when I created all this? Where were you when I hung all the celestial things in heaven? Where were you, Job? And by the way, Job, how does the horse get its strength? How do all these things happen, Job? And when you get to the point that you can answer me on these questions, I'll have an answer for you. See, how can we counsel God? If God chooses, Matt, to make your way difficult in this adoption process, if he chooses to call our spouses home, he chooses to call a child home, whatever the case may be, he chooses in our life that our job situation goes really south in a heartbeat, anything of that nature, how can we turn to God who's done all these great things, all these magnificent things, and say, okay, God, I really think you made a mistake there. I'll never forget this. Brenda and I were counseling with a family a long time ago before I was at this church. And the mother had saw a 15-year-old son, actually 16-year-old son, drowned. Drowned. I mean, think about that. I remember seeing him at the funeral home, and he still had sand in his hair from where he drowned in a lake in Indiana. And I remember the words of one lady to her, and they were this. I'm sure they were meant to comfort, but there was no theological soundness to them whatsoever. Brenda, you may remember this. This lady said, "I think God was asleep that day." No, he wasn't. He was right there. And that boy's name was Jason. And when he took his last breath under that water, the Lord carried him on home. He had trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, I can't explain to you why a 16-year-old with all the life in the world in front of him, God chose that for him. I won't have that answer this side of heaven. But I do know that God will one day set us down and he'll unfold it. And he'll say, "This is why." And we'll look and we'll say, "Okay, God, I understand that now. I'm sorry. I should have never doubted you." Would you stand with me tonight? I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed as we pray. Again, Father, it is often very difficult for us to consider that our days are few and full of trouble. But Lord, as Job looked at his life and said those things, he also, Father, was able to look at the end of that 14th chapter and come to these words and saying, "If the dead... will the dead live again?" And he knew that they would. He knew, Father, that even if his life was called from him, that he would see his Redeemer, because his Redeemer liveth. And so I pray, Father, that we would carefully look at trouble, look at it in the right way, because it will be coming. And that, Father, that we will be able to say that yet you slay us, yet you've taken everything from us, we know that you're still there. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.